Jesus, he's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love was due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Didn't the kids do a great job? Yeah. I want to say you helped me. Thank Kay and Paula and Katie and Nicole and Connie. Anybody I leave out? Kay, anybody else I leave out to help with the group?
I want to share with you from Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning because I believe, you know, we're traveling through Joshua and we'll pick back up, but and we're in chapter 3. But I wanted to share with you from Deuteronomy chapter 6 because there is such a word to this generation that was spoken centuries ago, that was given to God's people, that is still relevant today. Do you hear people tell you that the Old Testament's not relevant anymore? Do you hear people say there's no need to study the Old Testament, there's no need to understand the law? I would encourage you to stay way away from that, because you do need to understand the law. You need to understand the limits and the punishments and all those things that came by the law. Because when you understand the law, it helps you gain a greater appreciation of grace. Amen. I am grateful for grace today, aren't you? If it wasn't for the amazing grace of God, I nor you would have any hope in this world. But because of God's amazing grace, we have a blessed hope. And we look for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's just look, and you just open your Bible on your lap today. I won't ask you to stand as we normally do. And I just want you to walk through this chapter with me, because we're going to take a few minutes and focus on what the Word of God has to say about our children and what the Word of God has to say about our responsibility to them and our obedience to God's Word in doing so. Notice with me Deuteronomy chapter 6 and pick up there in verse 1. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. God, speak to us through it and help us to understand the wonderful grace that you have shown to us, and help us to understand the responsibility you've placed upon us as adults, as believers, as fathers and mothers, as grandparents, and as servants of the Most High God. And Father, may we not just live up to, but may we exceed the expectation of responsibility for us, that the next generation would benefit greatly by our obedience in the one we live in today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now here's something I want to use to introduce our title today. Would you put this picture up for me, Miss Tina? Today I am using the thought, "Proceed with caution." Now, I found this, and I like this. I'm thinking about putting some signs up on the street with this in here, okay? Back up. Hot work in progress. I like that, don't y'all? Proceed with caution. I have a friend over in a little place called Clem, Georgia. Anybody know where Clem, Georgia is? Jared, you don't know where that is? It's a little far from Michigan. You can find it. But anyhow, Clem's over in Carroll County, Georgia. And Clem, Georgia, this little small community outside of Carrollton. And my friend years ago pastored the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church there. His name was Doug New. And Doug's an old Alabama boy. He got transplanted over there for several years too. And when he became pastor of that church, it was much like ours. I mean, God began to work and lives began to be changed. And man, you know, the traffic picked up and you had to make sure you found seats and parking spaces and all this kind of stuff. And this was going on. Well, he came to church one morning and he noticed the sign out front. It said, "Caution, slow church ahead." Depends on how you read it, right? Like the street I grew up on, it said, "Caution, slow children at play." I thought, yep, they knew my kids in my neighborhood. But anyhow, but now, if you read the sign like "caution, slow," there's a church ahead, right? You get it. But if you read it fast, you know, "caution, slow church ahead." So he went and got some new signs made. And it says, "Caution, live church ahead." Amen. I like that, don't you? So I'm telling you, I believe the danger is not for us, because the danger is for the enemy that opposes us and those that oppose the word. But I thought, as we proceed with caution, we have to understand there's a hot work in progress. Amen. And you see it from the lives of these young people and the lives of our students. Hey, y'all changed on me, man. Y'all looked better with that paint. But anyhow, but I'm just saying, hey, these students, and man, we had a whole ton, 30-something students showed up this morning to help make preparation for this afternoon and we're rolling hot dogs. And did y'all taste test the snow cones yet? Huh? Thank you, Harper. Because they were going to lie to me, weren't they? All right, no, okay. Yeah, okay, just checking. But I'm just saying, they were down there serving and willing, and a lot of that comes from the example of leadership that is placed in front of them, okay? It's important for your children to have leadership in the church that love God, serve God, and want to help them become the same type servants. But I want you to know that doesn't begin at the church. You know, it's been my experience over the years as a pastor. I've had a lot of parents bring their children to church and say, fix my kid. Maybe some of you work in education. Maybe you are a principal or a retired principal or educator. You've probably dealt with some parents like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kid. You're the professional. Fix them. But I want you to know the school and the church do not have the responsibility of fixing anybody. The responsibility of all those things began long before the teacher sees your child, long before even a Sunday school teacher is able to teach a comprehensible lesson to your child. Those things start way before. So I'm going to walk you through. I didn't put anything else on the screen because I wanted you to think about the hot work today, and I wanted you to focus right here, okay? But I'm talking to you about proceeding with caution. Here's one thing about God's people. God's people can never get to the point to where we sit, soak, and sour. We have to be moving in the right direction. So as we're proceeding toward the promise, and as we've been learning about Joshua, as he was proceeding toward claiming the inheritance that God had promised to his children, he had to do so with one eye on the vision ahead and one eye toward heaven, making sure that he was in connection with both. Amen? So I want to walk you through some things that I believe God's teaching us, and you just keep your Bible open as we walk through this chapter. Because like I said, what I'm doing today is a little bit different than what I normally do, but I feel like that this is part of the work of a pastor. It's not just to be the preacher or the proclaimer, but to just pull up a chair sometime and sit right here with you and say, hey, let's all gather in as God's family, right? Let's gather in tight, let's pay close attention, and let's realize that because of these things that are going on around us, we need God and we need each other. We don't need to fight against one another. We don't need to gossip about one another. We don't need to complain about one another. We need to come together and say, hey, how can we proceed with caution and invest the next generation that they would have a greater impact on the world than we have? Amen? That's really it. As a dad, don't you want your daughters? I was looking at these little girls up here today. When you get grown daughters, you just look at little young girls coming, and some of them remind you of your little girls when they were little. Amen. Anybody with me? Just look at this sweet little girl. She had a little red dress on. I just lost her just a minute ago. She reminded me so much of Caitlin. Just singing her little heart out. I said, Angie, that's Caitlin right there. Yeah, and it means so much. But why does it mean so much? Because we want them to have better than we did, right? We want them to make a bigger impact than we did. So notice what happens. The Lord gives the people of God here a command to embrace. What does he tell them? There's three things he tells them. Verses 1 through 4, he teaches them that they are to fear the Lord. If there's one thing that's missing in America today, it is the fear of God. We have people in leadership and people all across the nation. I'm not pointing out parties. I'm not pointing out affiliations. This goes across the board. We have people in all walks of life in this country that have simply lost the fear of God. And listen, it's not just at the White House and it's not at the State House. Ladies and gentlemen, it's at the church house and it's at your house and my house. Because that is the foundation of it. The fear of God is not evident in many places that have church over the sign anymore because we've disregarded the Word of God to where it is no longer the authoritative Word that leads and guides our churches anymore. We like to chop it up. And listen, if you can take the Bible and make it say a lot of things it doesn't say if you don't understand context and things like that. But a lot of people have taken the Word of God and just basically said, this is just a good book for reading. It does not have any effect or authority over our lives. And therefore, it is no longer a church, ladies and gentlemen. You can hang the word church over the door, but if there is not a body of people gathered together to worship God, hear from God, and then go touch the world for the glory of God, it ceases to be a church. So I believe it's important he teaches us about the fear of the Lord. Here's the second thing he tells us. Those words are pretty familiar to you where he talks to us about how we should love the Lord. He said, you're to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul, all your strength, right? Those things we've heard again in the New Testament as they were repeated from the lips of the Lord, quoting this very passage when he was asked what the greatest commandment was. The Pharisees and the very political people and the very legalistic people of the day thought, well, we'll trap him right here. The law's got all these commandments, got all these different things. We're going to ask him what's the biggest one, and we're going to really hold him over the fire here. And he said, well, it's written. You should love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. He said, but there's a second likened to it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I done figured out something about this generation. People like themselves a lot. We in the selfie generation. Everybody likes to take selfies. And they'll put stuff like, man, I'm looking hot today. And I'm thinking, it's a matter of perception. I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm just saying. But people love to get all about themselves. And we love to love. And here's the thing about, I'm not saying you shouldn't love yourself. You should be grateful for that. But if you really love yourself, Jesus said you ought to love others with the same measure. You ever just seen somebody go around snapping pictures and post them on their social media? I love this person, love this person, love this. No, they don't talk. That it's all about me. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me today. We are to fear the Lord. We are to love the Lord. And then he tells us the third thing about embracing the command. We are to teach the word. Now look right there in verse 6 and 9. You see it again where he talks about it. He says this. You shall teach the commands of God, is what he's talking about, the law of God, diligently to your children. Diligently. Years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote this song. It was very popular, called The Fingerprints of God. Y'all remember that? He talked about how he looked at the kids and looked at the different people in church. He could see the handprints of God on people's lives. I see that with a lot of you. You mold your children. My little buddy Saw Dog here, I've done figured out how God's going to use him as an adult. His name's not Saw Dog. That's just what me and his daddy call him. Sawyer's my bud. And I was praying, you know, man, I just love this little guy. How's God going to use him as an adult? And I done figured out he's going to be head of security. Y'all laugh. I'm telling you, he's going to be a bad boy. He's going to be head of security as I get older and feeble and I'm unable to secure myself. I'm going to put Sawyer in charge because he's like 10. And you don't care. If this boy's got his blue jeans on, he's got a blade. He ain't going to hurt you. Don't nobody panic. He ain't going to hurt your kids. Don't anybody get upset. I'm like, oh, my God, a knife. I said, man, be careful. Don't carry it at school. He says, yeah, I done found it out. But here's that. Ray, do you remember me and you about the same age, Ray? Ray's a little older than me. I can remember going to elementary school trading knives with my friends in school, and nobody said a word. Just, hey, what kind of knife you got, man? You want to trade? We trade knives like we trade Hot Wheels cars, like we trade baseball cars, and nobody ever cut anybody. I remember going to school, shotguns hung on gun racks in the parking lot. Nobody went out there and got one threatening anybody. Different day and time. But I've decided, man, this is going to be my security guy, so y'all just be watching out for him because he's in training now. And he can take you out if we need him to, okay? I'm kidding. Y'all take it easy. Y'all lighten up a little bit. We're having fun here today, all right? Oh, Lord, you're like, all right, the little kid preacher's got him becoming a little savage, all right? And I promise you, he's cool, man. Did you went to Monster Jam yesterday? See some big trucks? Got to see one you want someday? The tire's taller than you? I love it. I love it. No, it's good. But he says you're to teach the word. Now look here. As a young dad, you've got to teach your boy how to be a man, but you got to teach him how to be God's man. Listen, I heard this statement not too long ago. Dads over the ages have done a pretty good job about teaching their boys how to be male, but they haven't taught them much about being a man. I believe it's important. And when we talk about being a man, we're talking about being God's man. And you should never apologize for that. Make no apology, sir, for your masculinity, and make no apology for teaching your boy to embrace his masculinity. And mamas and dad, well, your girls, man, I had two girls, and I was deeply invested in their raising. Right? And I still am. Now, it's a different level. They're 23 and 30. There's a different level. I mean, it's not like when they lived under my roof. But I'm still their dad. I'm still there for them. I'm still going to be there. I didn't make an 18-year commitment to two girls and say, after 18, you're on your own. No, it's a life. As long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to be invested in them. Hey, I got the coolest thing for my little Rob man for his first Easter. He's 5 months old now. He's looking more like me every day. Let me tell you what. I got him something yesterday. You know what his mama told me? He got to get outside in the sun yesterday. And she said his daddy was having to dig something. I'm sure he had to have a spreadsheet and some kind of schematic to dig a hole. But anyhow, engineer world. But anyhow, she said, Daddy, I could tell he wanted to get in that dirt and play. And I'm like, yes. She said, I can't wait till he gets some Tonka trucks. So we went to the spiritual place called Hobby Lobby yesterday. Ladies, y'all love Hobby Lobby. And let me tell you this too. I like Hobby Lobby. They got good books and they got the best snacks. Those little Airhead things. Okay. I mean, yeah, so I do that. I go to Hobby Lobby. I turn in my man card, go to Hobby Lobby. But I went in. I don't have to turn in my man card anymore because I went to the back and they had this Tonka front end loader dump truck. It's a dump truck, Ray, get this, with a front end loader on it. How cool is that? And you got some little levers, and you can raise up the little front end loader and dump it in the bump bed. And you let it back down, and then you dump out the dump bed. And it's got a little button. It'll go by itself forward, go by itself back. It blows the horn. I said, this is what God wants my boy to have. His mama asked for it this morning, right? So for Easter, they're going to come next Saturday, and me and him are going to dig up some dirt, man. No. You teach them. You don't just, you fear God. You love God. You teach the Word of God, and you do it without any compromise whatsoever. Let me hurry along here, okay? I won't read through all this, but I want you to hear me. There's not just a command to embrace as you proceed with caution, but there's also a conquest to enjoy. You can read on down through there, and he talks about several things. Look at verse 10. He says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you in the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, look, it's important that you understand, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. There is a conquest in joy. Here's what he's saying. One, he says there's going to be blessings from God. He says, I'm going to take you to a land you do not deserve. Anybody here feel like God's been better to you than you deserve? Where's my buddy Bruce? He's in the back. Bruce's office. Bruce, how you doing today? Much better than I deserve. All of us could agree with that, right? God has been far better to us than we deserve. We do not deserve anything. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Amen? Means he stays the same. So there's blessings of God. He's going to give you buildings you didn't build. Look here. Let you drink from wells you didn't dig. Anybody ever dug a well before? Some of y'all did them with shovels back in Pick and Shovel. I remember having a well dug one time, and I remember they kept going deeper and deeper. That thing ended up being about 210 feet. But I was so glad when they found water, because you know what I was afraid of? Y'all know what happens when you get a well digger out and he digs and he don't find water? And he has to dig somewhere else. It means you pay twice, right? And when you broke as a joke, you know, you get one time's all you got. And when they found water, I was so happy. And I remember it was a lot of work, and it was a lot went into building, digging that well, and there was a lot putting the pump and all that kind of stuff. But here's what God is saying. I'm going to let you partake of things that you put no effort into getting and you do not deserve. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Amen. It's not just a conquest, enjoy the blessings of God, but he tells us in verses 12 through 16, we're to beware of greed. Don't we live in a greedy society? Do y'all not see it everywhere? Don't we live in an angry world? I don't know about you, but I notice I've always thought the world's been angrier as I got older. But with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic and all those mandates and all the lockdowns and everything and everybody being funny and I'd be in a store, I've watched people tell on people, go get police for people because of a mask or because they got within 6 feet of them. It just created a lot of anger, didn't it? It didn't go away. Still there. We see people getting upset with each other in public all the time over things that just have zero eternal significance. And much of it has to do with greed. There's nothing wrong with you doing well, but if you do well and all you focus on is the things that you have instead of the glory of God, then you, sir, can find yourself in a situation where you've fallen victim to greed. But here's the third thing. The conquest in joy also involves bold guidance. Look at verse 17 and 18. You shall diligently keep these commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes he has commanded you. And you shall, look here, you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you and that you may go into the land and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Did you see that? Look at verse 19. To cast out all your enemies from before you as the Lord has spoken. Dad, listen to me. To raise a godly young man is going to take some bold guidance. Moms and dads, listen to me. To raise godly young ladies is going to take some bold guidance. Here's what it means. You're not always going to be able to go along with what they want to do. You're not always going to be able to be their best bud. Sometimes you're going to hurt their feelings. When I was growing up, my feelings were the things I didn't mind getting hurt. It was other things that followed that if I didn't get my feelings in order. Amen? Are you with me? It means you're going to have to take some bold stands. It means against the culture. Sometimes, because let me tell you what the culture wants to do. The culture wants to mold your children into the world system and not by the word of God. Here's what the word teaches us, and I read this years ago. We have to be careful to not let the world squeeze us into its mold. Too often the church is being molded by the world instead of the church casting a mold for the world. Too often, because there's very little difference, many people can't tell the difference in us, so therefore they see no need to change. They think they're okay. It's going to take some bold guidance in order to experience the blessings of God ahead. Let me tell you this about our children here. When we look at the future of what we believe God wants to do with children and student ministry, it's going to cause us to have to take some bold steps. We've acquired some more property and fixing to take down this house and create space and things like that. Because as you can look around and tell, we're going to need more space to worship. Are y'all all right with that? You know what that means? That means it might make us uncomfortable. We may have to do some temporary things. We may have to divide our numbers and have two separate services for a while in order we can create more space. We're not going to stop proceeding, but we're always going to do it with a cautious eye toward heaven because there's a hot work taking place. We're going to have to create space for our children to be able to have instruction and education and fellowship and things like that. We're going to have to create more parking. Some of y'all are volunteering right now say, where's the golf cart ministry at, right? I think when I get in my retirement years, William, here's what I'm going to do. For my pastor, I'm going to say, look, I'm saying, man, you're going to love me. Put me on the golf cart. I'll have these people so fired up by the time they get in the door. I'll tell you what, I'll get them on the cart, and for the 3 minutes I got them from that parking lot to the door, I'll say, you ain't going to believe what God's put on the pastor's heart today. Man, he's on fire. Man, God is so spoken into his soul, you're not going to believe it. It's going to blow you away. And I said, now I tell you one thing, preacher, don't you dare let me down either, because, I mean, you tell them, right? But I'm going to have them ready. No, listen. there's a lot of challenges out there for us. There's a lot of things I cannot explain, nor can I fully illustrate, but I can tell you this. If we'll do things God's way, and we beware of the greed, and we have bold guidance, we will be able to enjoy the blessings of the conquest He has in front of us. And then I want to end with this here in verse 20. There's a confession to explain. Look at verse 20. When your son asks, I love this. When he asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and the household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes to the fear of the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us. Us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments for the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Look here. There's a confession to explain. Here's what the word says. When your son comes up and says, hey, Daddy, tell me how we got to where we are. Tell me about your life. Tell me about Mama. Tell me about our family. Tell me about where God's brought us. You're going to be able to tell him two things. You're going to give him first a message of deliverance. When you hear him say, you will say to your son, we were once slaves. We were once in bondage in Egypt to the Pharaoh, but God. We were once lost, but now we're born again. We were once blind, but now we see. We were once over there in Egypt where we had no hope. Now God's taken us toward a place of living hope and eternal hope. What he's saying to them there is simply this. We've been delivered by the hand of God. He brought us here that he might bring us in. I was going to save this illustration to next week, but I believe we've got to use it today. I'll come up with something else next week. Man went to the gates of the White House. Told the guard, says, I want to see the president. Well, you know you can't do that, don't you? Unless you're Elvis, 1972, you're not getting in, right? He got in, but I just want to tell you, ain't none of us got the clout Elvis had, right? This little boy, this man went up there, and he saw him see the president. So he said, no, you can't see him. So he walked away dejected, and he was sitting on the park bench. This little boy came by. He said, sir, what you doing today? He said, I really wanted to see the president. I don't think I'm going to get in. The little boy said, yeah, I come by here all the time. It's pretty stinking hard to get in to see the president. He said, come with me. I think I can help you. Man looked at the little boy. Little boy said, yeah, I think I can help you. It's okay. So he starts walking with the little boy. He walks with the little boy right up to the gate. Walks with a little boy right by the guard shack that just told him to turn it around and get out of here. Guard don't say a word. He just kept walking. And he kept walking, and he walked up the steps. And when he got up the steps, he walked right in the front door of the White House. Walked up the staircase and right into President Lincoln's office. President Lincoln turned around, and the little boy said, hey, Dad. Got a man here like to talk to you. Is anybody with me on this? Because when we were slaves to sin, a baby was born in Bethlehem that grew in stature and favor with God and man. And he went to a rugged cross, and he bled and died for the sins of the world. And one day, an old wretched sinner like me that couldn't get in to see the king. I had no access to the king's house. And that same boy came by and took me by the hand. Said, I'll get you in. And he he walked me right up to the very throne of grace and said, "Hey, Father, got a young man here that really like to talk to you. He's with me." Do you know why that man got into President Lincoln's office? Because he was with his son. Hey, it's okay to have a little Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He was with his son. His son gave him access to the Father. And because this man had a relationship with this little boy, this little boy got him right to the throne of his Father. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me today. You may feel far away, and there's no way for you to be forgiven. There's no way you'd ever know the key. But if you'll just grab a hold of the hand of his son, he'll take you to the mercy seat. And he'll say, "Father, he's with me. He's one of the reasons I died on Calvary. Father, he just wants to know you." Oh, friend, hear me today. The greatest gift you can give your children is a relationship with Jesus Christ for you, sir, for you, ma'am, for your grandchildren. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you lead them to have a relationship with Christ. And the greatest gift you give them beyond that is to live the Christ life. Not some imposter, not some phony, not some fake, not some hypocrite, but an authentic follower of Jesus Christ that shows them and draws for them a picture of what it means to walk with God. The greatest little text I got on my birthday the other week, Chris, is from Jackson. Jackson was probably what, 8th or 9th grade when y'all came here. Now he's fixed to be a sophomore, or maybe a sophomore at the University of Hell. I'm sorry. I just can't say nothing nice about Auburn. Man. But he sent me a text, huh? Sent me a text. And I would read it to you, but I try to get away from my phone every chance I get, because those things have us. When I come in here, I try to leave it. But he just said this. He said, I want to thank you for teaching me how to live the Christian life. See, Jackson was in my little breakfast buddies group for about 3 years, 2 or 3 years. I miss those guys bad. But it means something to me, because sometimes those boys thought we were just eating breakfast. But what we were doing was building a relationship. I didn't preach to them. I didn't go in there and save y'all, memorized all your verses this week. I just went there to be their friend and find out how I could pray for them. Just built a bridge. Maybe you need somebody to build a bridge to you to the Father today. And maybe you need to make a fresh commitment to seeing the next generation flourish, because he trusted them to his church. Pray with me. Father, we love you. We thank you for your good grace and mercy. And right now, Father, in this service, I'm confident there are people from all walks of life and all different spiritual levels of maturity today, Lord. But Father, what I pray right now is for that boy or girl, that man or woman that doesn't know you today, that they could be eternally saved. And God, I want to pray for those parents. God, we're not here to beat parents up. We're here to lift parents up. But we're also here to come to the realization that this responsibility we have before us is not one to be taken lightly, scoffed at. But one, Father, we're to take our whole heart to love you, so that God, when these generations come, says, "What does this Jesus man mean to you, Daddy? What's he mean to you, Grandpa?" You can show them. Father, would you do what only you can do right now? Would you save lost, add to this church daily those who are being saved, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stand with me, if you would, all across the house. And as God speaks to your heart today, friend, I want you to hear me. Regardless of where you are in your journey, maybe you've never been to the King's house. You didn't know how to get there. Today, I hope you know and you will accept that opportunity. Mom and Dad, might be a good day to say, hey, I'm just going to commit fresh today. Because we've all made our mistakes in raising youngins. But Lord, may they be able to look and see the hope that lies within me. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Marty, lead us when you're ready.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Oh, I'm coming home. Never have wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home. Oh, I'm coming home.
Thank you.
while we're taking the offering today, since we're really crowded today, I just had my air traffic controllers tell me about Walk to the Cross for Annie. If you have Annie Armstrong Easter offering, you're in the balcony, please, if you'd like to put that in the plate at the same time your regular offering is fine, I'd appreciate that. And when the ushers come back through, if you've held on to your Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Missions, just signal one of the ushers and they'll stop at your aisle on the way back. Sorry for the mix-up. We just got real tight quarters today and got a lot going on. So if you would do that, that would mean so much. Thank you. Appreciate that, okay? If you have Annie Armstrong Easter offering you'd like to share, just hold it up and they'll stop by and we won't leave anybody out. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your modification there with me today. We're just really close and tight, which is a good thing. Aren't y'all glad? Man, it is. I remember when we used to get shot a shotgun, wouldn't hit two people. I mean, so I'm so glad you're here. And thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for your support of these youngins. They mean the world to us. I want you to know that. We're never going to be able to think perfect. You're never going to find a perfect place for your children to go to church, your grandchildren. And none of us proclaim to be, but we're going to doggone try our best to make sure they know that we love them and there's nothing they can do about it. That means sometimes we may have to tell them things they don't want to hear. We may have to get on to them when they misbehave. But we're always going to do it with love, and we're not going to do anything to hurt them in any way whatsoever. But sometimes, you know, we have to make sure we, you know, I was just thinking about it earlier. One of the hardest things for me to do when my grandmother took me to church with her a lot when I was little was to keep my eyes closed during prayer. I know y'all have a hard time believing that. But she would always tap me on the leg when it was time to pray. She'd say, close your eyes and keep them closed. Now, I tried all kind of techniques, Ray. I would like squeeze them as tight as I could and just pray that they would not pray so long so that... But then I'd start seeing spots and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then I'd have to open my eyes because I think I was going blind. So finally, one time, if I open my eyes, she'd get on to me to keep on. So finally, one time, and she was good about keeping her eyes closed. So one time we got there for lunch dinner. I said, Grandmother, you'll be so proud of me today. I didn't open my eyes but one time during the prayer today. Well, that's a good boy, Brent. I'll get you some more ice cream and copper. Well, when was that? I said, I just kept them open the whole time. So she just reached over and pulled my cobbler back, Ray. Thought it was good. No, hey, it's good though, man. You know, God can hear you with your eyes open, your eyes shut. Thank God he doesn't have a bunch of rules we have. Amen. But hey, where's Chris? Chris is going to come give instruction for what's going to take place downstairs, the egg hunt and all that kind of good stuff, food fellowship. Want everybody to stay if they possibly can. And so as he gives instructions, Marty will sing us out. But I want you to know that I love you, church. And nothing you can do about it. Amen. Come on up, Chris, and we'll get ready to go.